Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we have Heidi Schuster. Heidi is the author of Nourish, How to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Body, and Self. And I think you've probably, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, or just recently, you've seen that this topic, which can cover really so many subtopics of emotional eating, if you will, or disordered eating or eating disorders or, you know, just any issues that involve not really being able to have a healthy relationship with food. That's my way of articulating this. This is very, very common. It's so much more widespread, those of us dealing with food issues, emotional eating, binge eating, eating in secret, again, disordered eating or eating disorders, if you take it a little bit further. And I'm really liking the fact that we have so many guests with diverse backgrounds who can talk to this. So on both sides of the spectrum, we have folks that are credentialed and can speak to this like Heidi, but then we also have real life folks who have just gone through their own experience with an eating disorder or disordered eating or emotional eating or anything that is, you know, kind of the gray area in between all of that, and come through on the other side. I'm certainly somebody who is sharing my own story with you all on the podcast as I'm interviewing guests. I've gotten to a much better place with my relationship with food, if you will, but I'm still dealing with these things, and I'm happy to share myself and my experience and my feelings and issues, if you will, as a way to help teach other people and help them get past some of these obstacles that can so often impede our progress. So I know that you're going to enjoy this chat. I learned so much, and I can't wait to have Lindsay back on the show. In fact, I did just get her book. I can't wait to read it because, again, I firmly believe, I've talked about this, it's my own personal opinion, but I think that the more that we have folks on the show talking about this, you'll see the biggest battle, I believe, is fought in our mind as far as, you know, if you're hitting a plateau in your fitness journey. All of us know in general the right things to do as far as eating and you know, not eating too much and getting the right amount of activity, right? If everybody, if it was that simple as knowing what not to do as far as eating and what to do as far as working out, we'd all be fit. But there's something bigger. And that's the, you know, again, the bigger picture that we're starting to cover here on Fitfluential Radio. And a big part of that is what's going on with our mind, our issues, how we handle stress, how do we handle conflict. Sometimes those things can affect how we handle and deal with food. And that can, again, obviously make an impact on our health. It certainly can make an impact on our waistline. And I know that you are going to appreciate Jen's perspective. I can't wait to read the book. I certainly will be sharing my review of that book on my own social channels as well as on fitfluential.com. But for right now, sit back and enjoy this chat with Heidi, because it is jam full of truth bombs and wonderful insights that I know is that I know will help so many of you. So again, sit back and enjoy this chat with Heidi Schuster. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by Heidi Schuster, who is the author of a book I just got. I cannot wait to dive into it. And for those of you that know me and you've been listening to the show for a while, you know why I can't wait to dive into it. It's a topic I'm passionate about. The title of her book, as I mentioned, How to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Body, and Self. Bam, that's awesome. So Heidi, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. I can't wait to start this discussion. Welcome. Are you ready to go?
Yes. Thank you so much, Kelly, for having me.
I really am. You know that we chatted briefly before we started recording, and I feel so passionately about this that, you know, before we dive into your fitness story or your health and fitness story, I really just want to say to everybody listening again, fitness can be the reason that we start getting fit or pursuing fitness can be vain in the beginning, right? It can be that we want to lose weight, we want to look better, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Anybody that shames you into thinking there's anything wrong with that, they should be ashamed, right? But once we get on that journey, we're going to expand, and it's going to impact the rest of our lives, notably. But if you don't look at that bigger picture, and in other words, if you compartmentalize your fitness and you think that getting healthy, getting fit is just what you do at the gym and what you eat, you're missing a big part. And inevitably, it will have an effect. And that's a lot about what we're going to talk about today, which is, you know, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body, your relationship with yourself. These are important things. So if maybe you're tuning in and you just wanted cardio tips or nutrition tips and you think this isn't relevant, I assure you, I'm the biggest fitness fanatic on the planet. This is the stuff I'm paying the most attention to more than anything else, and it is game-changing. And we're going to have so many folks on the show that will testify to their real-life experience of having this aha moment and changing their attitudes and the way that they treated themselves and again, their relationship with food, body, self. So I do always like to ask my guests the first time that they're on their show, when was it for you in your life that you became interested in leading a healthier lifestyle and in being fit and healthy? When was that for you and why?
That's such a great question. For me, I would say that I was born moving. And so I was signed up for my first dance class when I was 6 for a very good reason. I think my mom was happy to channel some of my energy somewhere. So I think I've always just been someone who is naturally inclined to move. And because I also have a pretty active mind at the same time, like movement, fitness, just, you know, any kind of physical activity has been an important balance for me in my life. So I can't even say when it started. It was just sort of like a organic progression. And I've always been, you know, obviously interested in continuing that. And then I studied nutrition, which I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about that part of it too, but because I'm a nutrition therapist right now and I studied nutrition, you know, in school, because I was also really interested in the human body. And
so much of this will tie back to your book and to the topic, which is our relationship with food, body, and self. But I do also think, you know, back to what I said in the beginning, there's so many people who, when they start on a fitness journey, you know, it's weight loss. A lot of people, it's weight loss. Or some people will start, you know, wanting to lose weight, not because it was important to them, but because they've seen a doctor and the doctor said, you've got to lose 50 pounds. You're almost pre-diabetic. You're this, you're that, you're cholesterol, whatever. So sometimes it can be an alarming thing that pushes people. And sometimes it can be, hey, I don't like how I look. I want to feel better. Sometimes it's a life event, a divorce, whatever. But people compartmentalize. I was one of them, and they think that getting fit, getting healthy is simply, and we get questions like this all the time. So this might be more of you putting on your nutrition therapist hat, and maybe you can explain what a nutrition therapist is. But my thought is, do you feel that a lot of people, when they come to you, will ask the questions like what we have when folks write into us at Fitfluential? They'll say, well, I know I need to lose weight, so I know I just should cut gluten, right? It's all about cutting gluten. Or, oh, it's all about low carb, right? Or, oh, it's just I have to look for organic, and if I just eat organic, or if I just eat paleo, or if I just eat clean, I can eat all I want. That's it, right? It's like nobody seems to want to spend time figuring anything out. Nobody wants to seem to treat their body like a temple and say, to treat myself better. I want to see what this body that I've been given is capable of. Instead, they're like, okay, here's the deal. I've got to get healthy. What's the fastest way to do it? Do you see that a lot, that with people coming to you, that it's like this rush thing and they don't even respect their body? They're just almost punishing themselves with a prescription to just fix the problem.
A lot of people come to see me because they've done that countless times and it hasn't worked for them. You know, if you were to kind of find me through the internet, for example, you'd see that my work is really on healing someone's relationship with food and body and self.
Okay.
And I specialize in disordered eating particularly. So, but a lot of people will get in touch with me because they've gone down those roads and they've tried lots of diets or food plans or eliminations, and they've either not been sustainable or they've been sustainable maybe for a short time and had some, they've had some results, but then those results were not sustainable. Often they're kind of fed up with trying lots of different plans and really just want to have a more deeper connection with themselves and their own bodies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, often I'm lucky because people generally get to me at that point, but occasionally I will also get a phone call or two from someone who says, yes, I want to lose weight and how can you help me do this? And I respectfully tell them that the work that I do specifically, because I've been working in the disordered eating field for 22 years now, is not really focused on weight at all. In fact, I don't specifically focus on that. It doesn't mean that it can't be their goal, but it sort of needs to be a back burner goal, that my work is really on trying to help them learn to listen and connect with their body and make choices about food and physical activity and other self-care from that place of connection. Whereas a typical diet plan or weight loss plan is often someone else kind of telling you what to do. It's not necessarily connected to your individual, unique body. So it's a little different.
Yes. And again, every bullet point I write down about what you're saying, I'm like, there's a topic. And okay, so I have quite a lot of questions, and this is really good stuff. And I love, because we're going to get into that. That'll be our next part, the self-care, listening to your body, connecting to your body, and kind of getting past focusing on weight loss first. I mean, that was me for many years of my life. I was extreme dieter, yo-yo dieter, emotional. I mean, all of those things, I'm just keeping it real. I've definitely been a very emotional eater, somebody that would go out and binge. I didn't purge. I've never had, you know, I can't say that it's nothing bulimia or anorexia. I've had all these other going out and eating food and hiding it. Like I'd go through the drive-through and I'd eat some, you know, I'd get Burger King Whopper with fries and a huge Diet Coke, of course, a Diet Coke with burger and fries, right? Because we cancel each other out. And I'd eat it in secret. I did a lot of secretive eating and then extreme dieting, you know, punishing myself, binging all weekend and then starting over on Monday. It's taken me a long time to first just admit the issues, recognize them, and then try to figure out, you know, what was driving that. But when I humbled myself and said, okay, here's these funny things I do with food, let me figure it out instead of beating myself up for it, that has allowed me to progress more and more. I don't want to say I'm cured of it. I'm still working on a lot of issues, and now I'm keeping a food diary, more so about my emotions when I do things that are weird, right? So that I can look back, okay, what was going on that day? What was it that made me say, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that, or I'm going to have all of this granola or whatever it was. I got to tell you, everybody that's listening, this is important stuff. Figuring out what makes you tick, what your triggers are, it can change everything for you so that you can have a more comfortable, I guess that's the way I describe where I've come too. I'm more comfortable with food. I used to fear food. I used to obsess about food. I'm more comfortable just spending time with my man friend on the weekend. And if we say, hey, let's go to this amazing barbecue place, I'm not going, oh my God, it's carbs. What am I going to have? It's sugar in the barbecue sauce. That's no way to live. So back to the whole, what you said a second ago, disordered eating and eating disorders. Is it a fine line between disordered eating and disordered eating thoughts and folks that have what we've all heard of, anorexia, bulimia? Is that a fine line between progressing from one to the other, or are they totally separate?
First of all, Kelly, I just want to appreciate that you're open and sharing your own history around food. I think many of us, myself included, have struggled with our relationships with food. And you're right. It's not, we don't always have a diagnosable eating disorder, you know, and fit all the criteria. In fact, I think most of the time, the people that I see don't necessarily have the clinical title of anorexia or bulimia, but they have something that I would just call disordered eating, or that, you know, might not have a clinical label, but, you know, I'm not really into labeling people anyway. And in general, you know, the book that I wrote, which, you know, which, yes, the subtitle is How to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Body, and Self. The title itself is just nourish. The word nourish, I think, is sort of where I'm going, which is that we learn how to nourish ourselves in the process of recovering from an eating disorder. I actually did have an eating disorder, you know, long before I had my career in this field. And so I have my own background there. But the concept of nourishing ourselves, both with food, with, you know, other parts of life, because food is just one pleasure in it, is a whole process of healing. And I think what you described is exactly right on. It's not about, you know, following any one particular way of eating, you know, to a T. There's a connection that you have with yourself and like learning about, well, what are my emotional triggers that make me actually go and eat certain foods that actually don't feel good in my body? And a lot of what you're describing is the steps that I outline in the book to sort of get to know your own habits first before you even try to change them. Because if you don't really understand what's behind them, you know, what history or what emotional triggers might be behind them, it's really hard to actually make changes. You're kind of just putting a Band-Aid on something. You're not really getting to the core that's underneath it and kind of understanding yourself in the process. So it sounds like you're doing that work, which is great.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's been in stages, and I want to share too for people that, you know, this is an ongoing process. My favorite quote is, a garden is never finished. And if you view your life, figuratively speaking, like it's a garden, you tend to your garden, you weed your garden. It's like an ongoing, I'm all about the metaphor.
People. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like garden imagery anyway, because I'm a gardener. So I appreciate that. The grass is always greener where you water it. Right there.
It's so true. And so one of the things that I guess I want to share from, and I'm happy, frankly, here's the deal. I'm more than happy to use myself as an example because I want to help other people. But frankly, let's be real. Part of that is self-serving, because the more I have found, the more that I just keep it real and I'm very vulnerable with the people in my immediate, you know, life that are with, you know, hanging around with me. And I share, here's my deal. I'm hungry. I think about food all the time. I love food. The more that I share and the more that I keep it real and just tell people, it helps me. It's helping me get more comfortable. I realize how much of that whole shame thing I've been dealing with, and so many women have dealt with, where somebody in your life might have said something to you and you don't even realize it. I think you mentioned this earlier. There are things that can happen to us at a young age that affect us for the rest of our lives. And I remember early on feeling self-conscious about being this very curvy girl in my 20s. And I had my friend Wendy said something to me in my early 20s, and we were eating, and I said, you know, I'm so going on a diet this weekend. And she goes, you never stick to a diet. And I mean, like, it was the biggest kick in my, and it was, the thing is, it was true, but it was, I felt so judged and I felt so like, oh my God. And so that's when I started my secrets, my eating in secret, because I thought everyone's watching me. And I share that with you all, and I realize as I say it, how silly it sounds. And so for me, and you can tell me, Heidi, the more that we share with each other and make this not this secret topic that you have to be embarrassed about, I think that's a step to healing. The more you can understand yourself and be comfortable going, I don't know what the deal is, but if I have sweets in the house, I will eat the entire thing, and I eat it really fast. This is me. This is the truth. I'll eat it standing at my counter, and then I throw it away, and then I don't realize how full I am. Why do I do that? Still figuring that out. But if you can just get comfortable sharing that instead of feeling like a freak, that's going to be a step to getting to a better relationship. Do you agree that maybe just sharing it with other people is part of that process? It is for me, at least.
Absolutely. I think shame is like, well, shame is so out there around these mm-hmm. issues. Like, we have so much body shame in our culture, which is really makes me sad. Yes. You know, when your friend said that to you, like, you never follow a diet, or you never stay on a diet, you know, your initial response is, oh, I do something wrong. Like, I'm a failure, as opposed to maybe the diets are the failure. I mean, if you look at the research, if you really look at all the research, 95-96% of people who go on a weight loss diet will gain the weight back generally plus more. Mm-hmm. That's just not very good odds. Like maybe it's the diet that's the problem or the deprivation that is a setup for us. And it's not so much that you don't have discipline or willpower or whatever. I think our bodies are really primed to take care of us and like and respond to starvation in a certain way. So sometimes what I find the most in practice is that when someone is really struggling with binge eating or secretive eating, it's often because there's been some kind of restriction put on them, whether it's a well-meaning, you know, parent or mm-hmm. even health professional, even perhaps a dietitian. I'm a registered dietitian, but I know that there's a lot of us out there that do damage sometimes by prescriptive, kind of prescriptive diets. Mm-hmm. And then that sense of deprivation often leads to I need to make up for that somehow. Like, oh, I need to feel some kind of sense of abundance around food because it's something that we, you know, deal with several times a day. It's a basic need. And then there's all the other kind of needs that we have in life that get tied up with it. I talk about this a little bit in the book that, our very, very first need that we express generally as a newborn infant is related and tied in with food. I mean, we want comfort, but we also want nourishment, and they aren't really separated. It's pretty hard to feed a baby, like even with a bottle, if you're not like embracing them. So there's, I think, care and comfort get tied up with food from a very, very early time, and we have those neural pathways in us. So often when we find ourselves kind of feeling more out of control than we like to with food, it's often because some of our other needs are being met. Sometimes it's just that we're not eating enough and we, you know, our body's just like, you know, wanting calories, but sometimes it's that our other needs aren't being met and we're kind of using food as a bit of a stand-in. So at least that's what I see in practice.
I agree with you so much. And I don't know that I really made the point I wanted to with my example last time. So for everybody listening, I guess what I wanted to share with you is there's sometimes when you start to peel the layers with yourself. Wow, that sounds very Oprah, I know. But when you do, when you start to peel the layers and go, okay, why am I acting this way? Why do I do this? It doesn't mean you're always going to figure it out. I mean, I have things that I do and I don't know the source of it. I don't know why. And sometimes it can be something very simple. I think of two examples. You know, one is something my mom told me, and I'm semi throwing my dad under the bus, but it's just a simple thing because I think there are men that can say things to women and they have no idea for myriad reasons why it can make such an impact. Just like what my friend said to me. And I'm sure she to this day does not know how much that just transformed me and made me, you know, move in this kind of unhealthy direction with food. But I think of Princess Diana, you know, and when she went into that phase of her life where she got very, very, very skinny. And she mentioned that one time early in their marriage, Prince Charles had said something to her like, wow, he put his arm around her. He said, wow, we're getting a little pudgy here, something to that effect. And early on in my mom's marriage, she said, my dad said something right after she gave birth to her first baby, you know, to the effect of, well, are you planning on losing that weight? And such a small comment like that can make the hugest impact. And so sometimes you can peel the layers and go back and go, okay, ever since that statement, that has made such an impact. I've allowed that to impact so many other things. But sometimes you might not figure out why, and it'll take a while. So just be comfortable, I guess, with the process. And before I ask you my next question, Heidi, would you agree that there's a part when people are going down this road that you have to understand it's an ongoing process. It's not going to happen overnight. A lot of us have bad habits that, number one, are very common, but we might not figure it out right away, and that's okay.
Absolutely. I think you're right. It's not, it's not a quick fix. It's going to be a process. And anytime we have a habit that we want to change, it's really hard to actually change that habit if we're berating ourselves. So I think that you're right. Like these comments that we make sometimes to each other, and, you know, it's part of our culture to sort of be so focused on weight in the body. which is unfortunate, but it's what it is. And we all kind of have grown up in that soup. So, you know, we have to understand where it's coming from. It's out there. And I think we have to work on changing that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that myself and some of my colleagues are trying to do, and really kind of putting the concept of weight stigma out there as a thing that needs to be changed.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
Habits don't change overnight, but they change best when we actually are appreciating ourselves and accepting ourselves. And that's such a hard process. My second chapter in Nourish, which is the step two, these are not linear steps by any means, because you always have to revisit them, is body acceptance. And it's a big one. You don't have to love your body, every single nook and cranny, but you do have to accept that this is your body. And this is where it is, and it has its own history, and it's gotten to this place for lots of different reasons. And then from that place of acceptance, which sometimes takes some work, and again, it's something that we revisit over and over, especially if we're a part of this culture, that's the place where we make change happen, where we say, oh, my body is really worth taking care of. I want to do things from a place of self-care and not self-control. It's very different.
Brilliant. And, you know, I think that if I'm real with myself, a lot of my issues, my disordered thoughts or my disordered eating issues, they tend to be, you know, you mentioned, and I've heard people say this a lot, that they'll use food as a comfort. And I do believe a lot of people do that. They're stressed. And so they turn to food. It makes them feel better. I can tell that my relationship it tends to be that when I go and eat something impulsively or reacting to stress, it really isn't that it comforts me. It's more of some kind of form of punishment. It's like, well, I'm on a healthy track and I'm going to go do something that is so bad and I'm going to feel guilty afterwards and I'm going to regret it and feel shame and beat myself up for it. And it's almost like I'm just articulating it there. Mm-hmm. That is the vibe around my food issues. It's like it's a bad thing. Like I'm going to go do the one thing that is the polar opposite of what I really in my whole life want to do, but I'm going to do the one thing that I'm going to feel the worst about. So for me, it's not wow, that feels comforting, with the exception of Olive Garden or maybe a muffin. But you know, I do. And so I can relate when you say that so much about a better relationship is when you learn to respect yourself, accept yourself, and treat yourself like that. I've started to use that body as a temple. Like, this is the body I was given. This is the way God created me. And I've beaten myself up for being curvy all these years. And now it's cool because of Kim Kardashian. And it's like, it's silly that it took, you know, all of these years for me to go, I'm never going to have, and I did for years, I tried to have Jennifer Garner's body. I wanted to have no boobs, really small hips, and look like, and I wanted to look the exact opposite of the way I was born. And now it's taken me a while, but I do. I accept myself. I embrace myself. I still have a lot of issues. I see myself as extremely heavier than I am, but at least I acknowledge it and I'm working on it. And I love the words that you've mentioned in this interview. You used nourish, which is the title of your book, and you also used soothe. And I think for everybody listening, I've mentioned one time that my therapist, when I first started seeing her, she had said that to me, that very word soothe. She said, you know, you beat yourself up about this, this, and this, and you need to go home and practice self-care. And, you know, you're processing a lot of, you know, troubling things from your past with me. Go home and take a hot bath and soothe yourself. And I honestly, I don't think I'd ever heard that word. And I don't really think, frankly, Heidi, that I've even used the word nourish ever. I've never, but what amazing positive words those are. And most people, I don't think, would use any of those words in regards to nutrition or food or how they take care of themselves. Why is that? Why are we more on the negative side?
Well, I think we have this, and you kind of named it, this sort of black and white mentality around food. Yeah. And particularly these days, like, you know, I've been in this field now for a couple decades. And I think if anything, we've gotten like, we've gotten away from some of the really like dramatic dieting that was done, you know, maybe 20 years ago, where people were eating very, very restrictively as that being trendy. Now it's almost like you have to eat like perfect and clean. And I think actually there's a danger in trying to eat perfectly. Like, you know, if we step back a little bit and we look all over the world, there are people eating a variety of different kinds of cuisines and thriving. So our bodies are resilient and we can eat in lots of different ways. And yes, there are some ways that might feel better than others, but we all have really unique bodies. So what works for you, Kelly, may not work for me and may not work for, you know, someone listening. So ultimately we have to kind of find our own way with food. And I do think that there's something about being too rigid or too focused on, well, I have to eat the thing that's so healthy, that then just kind of makes us want to like go crazy and eat all the other stuff that we don't allow ourselves. So I think finding, like, I talk a lot about finding the gray area with food where, you know, you kind of get in touch with actually, what do you like? Like what gives you pleasure? Like what tastes good? What sensory value can you get from food? And a lot of people don't think about that, especially when we're health conscious. You know, we don't really think about, well, what I actually really like. Like if I open this menu, how can I make a choice that's not just about what's the healthiest thing on the menu, but like what really like resonates with me and who I am? And probably if you do that more, you'll come out with some kind of moderate way of eating, which is not very sexy because it's not very extreme, but some moderate way of eating that like incorporates your pleasures and the things that you really like, and doesn't really go in either direction of deprivation or overindulgence. But it takes, like, if you've been used to the black and white, which a lot of us in the health and fitness world have been trained that way, myself included. I got my nutrition training at a time when there was more of that language there too. And, you know, there's still, unfortunately it's still there, but, you know, I think finding that sort of gray space with food and fitness and general self-care can really be freeing and liberating. It sounds like you're on your way. You're looking for that. And I think that's fabulous.
Clearly, you get this. And I love that as I'm sharing something, you know, the reinforcement that I'm on the right path is encouraging to me. But when you said, you know, having this perfection mindset, I certainly have recognized that in myself, and the black and white thinking, you know, oh, well, I thought I was paleo, but this isn't paleo. Oh my God, I've ruined everything. And freaking out and not trusting yourself. And I think I love the restaurant analogy you used, because I'm going to use it here. When I finally, for everyone listening, and it's still a process, I've learned to calm down. I've learned to calm down about not, you know, I'm not at the weight I want to be. I have fat I want to lose. I've been very vulnerable and I've shared that with everybody, right? I've learned to accept myself where I am, to buy clothes that make me feel amazing and sexy and confident right now. And do I want to get somewhere? Yes, but I'm going to enjoy life right now. And I am more calm. And instead of trying to have some extreme diet and figuring out when can I get my body into this weight and this size that I thought was perfect by somebody else's standards, somebody else told me I had to be a size zero. somebody else told me, back in the day, I remember they used to have all of these celebrity magazines and they talk about this celebrity or that celebrity. And it wasn't enough that they went from size 8 to size 6 to size 4 to size 2. Then remember the years where it was like, oh, this celebrity's a negative 5. And I'm like, how can you be a negative size? Does that mean they don't exist anymore?
But it's yet wrong.
People like me. See how much it impacted me? I'm still talking about it, 15, 20 years later. But when you calm down and don't put those, I have to be 10 pounds lighter by this date, and you start exploring your body and listening to your body and exploring different food options, how they make you feel, it is so interesting how you all will start to look at things differently. Because I remember the first time I went into a restaurant and I gave myself permission to get whatever I wanted. And you know what, Heidi? I was so out of touch with what I liked, because all I knew was how to go into a restaurant and go, okay, where can I get plain grilled chicken, vegetables on the side? It was always diet. I can't have carbs. I can't have bread. I can't have pasta. I can't have fried. I can't have this. It was like, can't. It's a rules. I never started to look at a menu and said, what sounds good? What tastes good? And now that I know things like a turkey Reuben, I love it. I can order a turkey Reuben, and if it's a huge turkey Reuben, I have half of it, I have some fries, I have the Thousand Island dressing on it, and I enjoy it, but I don't necessarily eat the whole thing. Sometimes I eat the whole thing because I've calmed down, but it took me so long to get to that place of not having food be all about rules. Do you think that's a big step for a lot of people, is to just let go of all of those rigid rules? I know you mentioned the word rigid before, and that's a key adjective, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your turkey Reuben is your gray right there. It's not like this overindulgent binge, and it's not the boiled chicken with the vegetables on the side and no sauce. It's like, this is the thing that in the middle, that when I eat, it feels good. It feels good to my senses and it feels good to my body. And I think that that's a challenge. It's not an easy thing for people to discover. And I think it's different for different people. Like some that might not work for some people. Something else might. And so it's doing that investigative work. And, I start to talk a little bit in the book about how to do that and some steps to kind of investigate that for yourself. And, it's a process. And, I think it's great to get support with it if you can too, because it's not an easy thing to do if you're, if you have that black and white mindset. And I'm a recovering perfectionist myself, so I can totally relate. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to want a solution that's kind of extreme or clear. And most things aren't that clear. It's really about being in the moment and really listening to your body. And, what works for me today might not actually work for me tomorrow. Sure. Our bodies seem to gravitate towards different things in different seasons. So I think there's so much information, really rich information that our body gives us, but we don't generally listen. We listen really well when we're tiny tots. Actually, if you watch very, very small kids before anybody has told them what they should or shouldn't eat, they do a very good job of like kind of having a bite of a cookie and just then putting it down, deciding they're done and there's something else in the world that's more interesting. It's getting back to that, which means we have to kind of get rid of all the crap that the world has told us about what we should or shouldn't be eating, and kind of come back to a more embodied way of feeding ourselves.
So many of us, whether it's folks that have gotten to a place where they're, obese and really overweight, or if you're 50, 25 pounds, 10 pounds overweight, whatever it is, I think of myself and all of my issues and the things that go into it. But when I sit down for so many years to eat a meal, there's so many like emotions going on in my head and judgments, and I wish it wasn't, but I just think so many people are sitting down and worried about what other people are thinking of what they're eating. I mean, I've seen women, how we explain to each other, oh, this is why I'm eating this. I dieted yesterday, or, well, yesterday was my cheat day, or this is my cheat meal. Like, why do we have to explain to each other why we're eating? There's so much guilt and shame and all of judgments that I think the more, this is why I'm really passionate about having this be a theme on the show. And I can't wait to read your book. I think it's extraordinary. This is important. And after the first guest that I interviewed on along the lines of this topic, and one of them, we did a whole series, like four shows on just this emotional eating, specifically behavior. And it was Jenny Meyer. And then I put out some polls in our private Fitfluential community and on our social platforms. And I just said, do you know somebody that is dealing with an eating disorder or disordered eating? Or is it, I think I said, do you deal with eating disorders or disordered eating, or do you know somebody that is? And it was over 75%. In fact, I think it was 80% yes. And to me, that says there's a lot of people that we can help the more that we make this easier to talk about. So
agreed.
It's wonderful to listen to you because I think you have such knowledge about it, but you also have a very, I want to say it's soothing to listen to you talk about this because it's not, it just makes sense. All the takeaways that I love Find Your Gray Space. I love, that could be a bumper sticker. That could be a coffee mug line. I'm giving you a whole idea right there. And I think you should take it and run with it. Like Find the Gray Space plates, you know, that could be a whole line of menu items on restaurants. Okay. I'm going off on a tangent. Tell me where they can find you online and find your book.
Well, I'm online at www.anourishingword.com. So it's anourishingword, W-O-R-D.com. And my book, Nourish, How to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Body, and Self, can be purchased on my website right there, which I always appreciate. But you can also find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other fine booksellers everywhere. And just thank you so much for having me on the show.
A pleasure. I can't wait to dive into your book. I just got it. And I just think this is something that we really need to talk about because I know it affects so many people. And if we can get our head in a better place, everything else, you know, life is to be enjoyed. Food is to be enjoyed. It shouldn't be this agonizing experience that sadly so many of us are privately dealing with. You know, I think the more that we make it like, oh yeah, I've been there, whatever, makes it, and the way we should all be changing the way we talk to each other. Let's make it comfortable for us to eat in each other's company and not feel like we have to talk about why we're having these carbs or why I'm not paleo, et cetera. So this is good stuff, Heidi. I know I have to let you go. For everybody listening, if you have questions for us that we can pass on to Heidi, of course, we encourage you to go to her website, obviously buy the book. I think it's a fantastic read for you guys, but also for somebody that you know that might, you know, benefit from reading this. But obviously, if you have questions for the podcast, things that you want us to address in particular on this series, in general, email us podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also send us any requests for people that you would like to see us interview on the show. That is becoming a popular request when people email us. So please know that. All the show notes will be on fitfluentialradio.com, and we will certainly, I will be working to see if I can get Heidi back on the show. But thanks everybody for tuning in. Hope this was helpful for you, and we will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.